Grab your phone, tablet, or whatever you listen on and get comfy, because here's another great episode of the Pop Zara Podcast. Enjoy it.
Toys.
Action figures.
Highly articulated, poseable figures.
I'm gonna buy that thing.
We have to have a name.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. You're just like, oh, that's clever, I think.
Mighty Morphin Power Rangers. And that was the name.
That's the dumbest idea I've ever seen.
Clothes make the man, but movies make the zeitgeist. Welcome back to the Pop Zara Podcast. This is your host, Nathan Evans, talking with returning champ like Danny Trejo in The Muppets. He's a triple threat. Acclaimed producer, director, and Netflix staple. Producer Brian Volkweis. Brian, welcome back to the Pop Zara Podcast.
Thank you for having me.
The check cleared, evidently. But no, we're back once again because you've been on here many, many times talking about shows you've done for Netflix, like The Toys That Made Us. And on the CW, you had, I believe the show was discontinued with Andre Meadows, Black Nerd.
Yes, which is now going to Amazon.
Amazon, oh, look at that. Everybody's fighting for this stuff. It's fantastic.
That's right.
I need a show. If I had a show people can pull. We are here talking about the latest upcoming season of The Toys That Made Us. I believe it's season 3.
That is accurate.
Season 3. And as a special treat, you have a new show coming out, also on Netflix, called The Movies That Made Us, hence my opening salvo. So we've talked about The Toys That Made Us before. It's a lot of fun. If you haven't seen it, it's on Netflix. Please watch all the episodes where you talk about everything from Star Wars to G.I. Joe to Lego to Hello Kitty. And that last one is still my favorite episode. I learned way more about Japanese erotica than I ever would elsewhere.
You have no idea, man. You should see that out.
We need a Toys That Made Us uncut with Hello Kitty. That would sell a million copies.
Yeah. No, we definitely cut a lot out of that episode. That very bizarre that we got it.
You know, the sad thing is, it's not surprising at all. Like, the more you know about Japanese erotica, the less you really know. And the less you kind of want to know.
That sounds like it's accurate.
I will not confirm or deny. We are talking about the new season, so I want to split this up into two things real quick, because as a full disclosure, normally what happens is we get a chance to look at some of the episodes. Our schedule wasn't permitting, so I have not seen any of the upcoming episodes of The Toys That Made Us, and I haven't seen The Movies That Made Us. I'm almost embarrassed to say I probably didn't need to, because I've seen all these movies and TV shows so many times. So I'm going to wing it, but it's probably going to be a lot more knowledgeable than it would have been. Toys That Made Us season 3. Now we talked about this before. We recommended a few shows to you last time, and it looks like you took our suggestions, or it just made a lot of sense because some of these shows are popular. We got Power Rangers. We have My Little.
Took your suggestion.
You can mail the check to no, but anyway, Power Rangers, My Little Pony, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and wrestling toys. Let's start off at the end there with the wrestling toys, because that's one that's not exactly tied into an actual intellectual property, right? So what's up with wrestling toys?
Well, I mean, wrestling fans, of which I am not, wrestling fans would argue with you. It's definitely IP, you know, the same way. And again, I'm not a wrestling fan, so take what I'm about to say with a grain of salt. The same way Optimus Prime fighting Megatron is fake, Roddy Rod Piper fighting Andre the Giant is fake. And those are real characters to the fans. Andre the Giant's been passed away for a while. He hasn't been wrestling in decades. They're still making new figures, just like with Optimus Prime and Snake Eyes and Barbie. I would argue, not to hurt your feelings on the Hello Kitty of it all, I would argue the wrestling is more even of an IP that plays in well with what we're doing than Hello Kitty did.
Well, you see, like, I grew up in the 80s, right? And in the 1980s, wrestling was different. We all knew it was fake, but we didn't care because we had characters like Hulk Hogan, we had Andre the Giant, we had the Iron Sheik, we had Rowdy Roddy Piper. We had some interesting characters. And yeah, they had toys. And then something happened to wrestling in the preceding 30 years where it changed its name, it changed its stations. I think it just came back on television on TNT or some channel that wasn't sci-fi. First of all, why are you watching sci-fi to watch wrestling? And there's no aliens.
Oh,
I don't get it.
I can answer that because it rates.
Yeah, I know. But it's like, it's sci-fi. It should have some sci-fi component. Like, they should wrestle an alien. But they don't wrestle an alien. It's a missed opportunity. So anyway, but when it comes to the toys themselves, my question is, who makes the toys? Do we know, are we going to learn about the different manufacturers? I mean, I know Kenner made toys for a while, but I'm not knowledgeable enough about that.
Galoo, Hasbro, it's a very similar structure in that regard to the Transformers, to the Star Trek episode. Mm-hmm. So very, very similar in that regard, where one company would have the rights, then they'd lose the rights one way or another. And by the way, this episode, very, very funny. Like Good. In Star Trek, you know, the rights ended, they lost the rights. It was that simple. In the wrestling episode, not as amicable.
It's not. You know what's funny when you get the personalities of this one? I'll come out and I'll just start at the beginning. You get someone like Hulk Hogan. And for those who don't know, Hulk Hogan at one point in time was the most popular wrestler probably ever. And he also had crossover appeal. Anybody who's ever watched Rocky III or Gremlins or any of those crappy movies he made in the 90s, he was always lovable Hulk Hogan. And then something happened. I don't want to get into it here, but troubles happened with Hulk Hogan. Then he was banished out of the wrestling community, and now he seems to be coming back. How much does Hulk Hogan factor into the episode? I assume there's going to be some focus on him.
He's a part, I mean, again, very similar to how much Optimus Prime or Baroness was in the Transformers or G.I. Joe or Darth Vader or Luke Skywalker. They were not major parts of any of those episodes. So it's a similar thing here. We show the important versions of Hulk Hogan over the course of the episode, but there's no Hulk Hogan used to be cool. Now he's not. Here's why. Google Gawker. Like, that's not our show.
Yeah, the Gawker thing, that would make an interesting episode by itself. The websites that made us. Personally speaking, I'm not a wrestling fan, but I love Andre the Giant. And I think a lot of people do. My thing is, not trying to prejudice you, but when you were doing the episode, was there one particular wrestler, was there one particular, let's just say, brand of wrestler that stood out more than most as someone who people really responded to, either through nostalgia or just from a characteristic point?
Well, I mean, again, it sounds like we have it in common. We're similar age, and neither one of us were wrestling fans. So if I had to guess why your favorite is Andre the Giant and my favorite is Andre the Giant, it's because of a certain movie about success rolling down a hill.
That's right.
So I made the episode. I'm very proud of the episode. We really got into it. And if I had a favorite version of the toys based on the brands, it would be LJN. Just because the people at the company were awesome and a little crazy. They took some real risks. It's an interesting episode. It's like part Star Trek, part He-Man.
I think it's going to be a lot of fun because I do think the culture around wrestling lends itself to this pop culture thing where you don't have to follow the rules. You know it's fake. And I'll just say, do you remember that old George Carlin stand-up where he talked about Mickey Mouse and he talked about Mickey Mouse's birthday? Absolutely. And it made him crazy, and I can't repeat the whole joke, A, because I'm not a good comedian, and B, it's raunchy, but it's very funny.
Yeah.
Now I turn on the news, and I see not fake news, but I see cartoon news being reported as real news about characters dying in this. Used to be Superman died. Now it's, Han Solo won't be back in this, or Captain America. And they treat it like it's real, like it's a real thing. And I can see why people think wrestling's real. So it's hard to distinguish. Enough about wrestling. Let's talk about some other stuff. So the other movie I want to talk about is Home Alone. Disney Plus is coming out. It's one of the streaming services. You'll probably be on at one point in time just because of inertia. And they've announced they're going to remake Home Alone. They're going to turn it into a TV series or something. To me, Home Alone is like the Terminator franchise. The only ones that count are the first two. Everything else after that is fan fiction. I don't have a lot to say about Home Alone other than really excited about seeing Martin Scorsese's The Irishman because I get to see Joe Pesci again, and that's going to be a treat. And for those who don't know, Joe Pesci was awesome in Home Alone 1 and 2, as was our president, our current president, Donald Trump, was in Home Alone 2. People don't know this, but now you can hate the movie. Real quick about Home Alone, Macaulay Culkin. Have you noticed this, that Macaulay Culkin has made a comeback? He's everywhere now.
Yeah.
On the internet. He's everywhere on the internet. Did you get Macaulay Culkin for the episode?
We did not. You know, with Toys That Made Us, one of the decisions that I made that sometimes is not popular, and fair enough, was I never wanted to go after the collectors or the collections, just because I felt that with that series, it doesn't translate, and we always try and have every minute of every episode really kind of stand on its own, but also work on at least two or three different levels. So with Movies That Made Us, listen, did we reach out to him? Yes. Would we have liked to have interviewed him? Yes.
Didn't happen.
Interviewed him for 5 hours. Do I think more than a minute or two would have made it into the episode? Yeah. The difference between The Toys That Made Us and The Movies That Made Us as it relates to producing both shows is, yes, there have been one or two documentaries about Star Wars toys, but most people hadn't seen them. Die Hard or Home Alone, like, these movies have had DVD extras and makings of for decades. So we really had to find a way to, A, communicate the story to people that were not fans, so it made sense, but also do it in a cool new way, but also really do a deep dive, as we do with Toys That Made Us and some of our other shows, to find these really cool, fun facts that keep the story moving. And a lot of the actors, and I don't blame them, I would be the same way. There's two issues to the actors. One is, unlike a producer or a writer, like, they're just there while the movie's filming. So for the most part, like, Bruce Willis really wasn't there during the writing of Die Hard or the pre-production of Die Hard or the post-production of Die Hard. He was just there while they were making it. But on top of that, he's been talking about it nonstop for 40 years about, or 30 years. So at some point, you've heard those stories. So we tried to get all the actors, but there were people that we fought really hard to get. I mean, a better example is John McTiernan. You know, John McTiernan, I think he's still evading the law. Like,
he's the John McAfee of movie directors a little. He's he's interesting.
We knew we were meeting him in Denver. He didn't tell us where. We had to tell him when we landed, and then he told us where to go. So we worked really hard to get John McTiernan, because I don't know how you tell that story without his point of view. But again, with Bruce Willis, also partially because he's done so many things with the behind the scenes, we had access to that, so we could use him anyway. We just didn't have to shoot, you know, like a new interview, if that makes sense.
No, it does. Do you remember the documentary that came out a few years ago? Speaking of documentaries about movies, I think it was called Lost Soul, The Doomed Journey of Richard Stanley's Island of Dr. Moreau. And, you know, the version where Val Kilmer, Johnny Depp, and Marlon Brando. And it was a complete disaster. And but the story behind the making of the movie was such that the documentary was better than the movie. And I know what you're saying, that if you get an actor who's invested in the financial outcome of the movie, they're not going to badmouth it. They're probably not going to tell you the really interesting things. They're not going to tell you who did coke or who they did coke with.
Exactly.
Every once in a while, have you noticed you see a star who's just, you know, IDK or something? They don't give anything. They don't give two flucks. And they're willing to spill the beans. And the whole thing is very interesting because they have no investment in it. Yeah. And so I don't know. Like I said, I think that's my big question for a lot of this stuff. I don't think I would want to see a Die Hard episode with Bruce Willis talking about it. I don't think I'd want to see that. I'd want to see an episode with everybody else talking about it.
Well, then you're going to love this show. Because that's what we did. I mean, and by the way, we did get some stars, and they're not in the episodes that much. You know, the only exception to that is Reginald Val Johnson.
He's on my list. I was going to ask you about him.
But you'll see, there's a very good reason why he's in it a lot. And also, just so you know, it was very hard to get him too. You know, a lot of the people that worked on Toys That Made Us did like society, pop culture changing work, and no one knows who they are. So they were dying to talk to us. Bruce Willis, I think he loves talking about his band. You know, I think he loves spending time with his kids. You know, I think he's spent more time talking about Die Hard, you know, than I have about Toys That Made Us, to put it mildly. So,
This is an audio podcast, but on his webcam, Brian has a very big picture of Kevin Smith in the back of him. And I don't want to get into this too much, but Kevin Smith has made an entire second or third career talking about Bruce Willis very famously. And after a point, when you hear these stories about how actors really are and everything, they tiptoe to that line where it's interesting. If they're good stories, they stop there. But if they're bad stories, they're no longer interesting and they become annoying. And when I see Kevin Smith on TV and I hear he's going to talk about Bruce Willis or giant robot spiders, I tune out. I'm done. I don't need to hear those stories anymore. Move on. Make another Jay and Silent Bob, which he did. But again, though, honestly, let me end with Die Hard with this. Two questions. One, after the last two Die Hards, I don't think I want to hear what Bruce Willis has to say about Die Hard. I don't even think he understands Die Hard anymore.
I got to tell you, man, I disagree with you for this interview. Live Free or Die Hard?
No.
That is a fantastic film.
You're entitled to your opinion. It's real long, but you're entitled.
Taking Out the Freeway is one of the greatest action sequences of all time.
We agree.
All time. It's John McClane. Like, I don't know who he was in 3 or 5 or whatever, 6, but the same guy from 1 and 2 is back in 4. He's got this great line that never caught on where, what's his name, the bad guy is like, you know, if you leave now, I'll write you a check. And then it cuts to Bruce Willis, and he's like, I got your check.
What was his name? The guy from Justified, right? What's his name?
Yeah, that guy.
Oh, he's on your Netflix station. He's on that San Clarita Diet.
Yeah. It's him off. Yeah.
I can't believe I don't remember his name. Okay, could we agree the last movie was terrible?
F mine.
Okay. No. End of discussion. No more bad Die Hard movies. No more reboots either. That's Die Hard. So let's go to the next one real quick. Okay, this is the one I'm least familiar with, probably for chromosomal reasons. That is Dirty Dancing, a movie that I know. I love Patrick Swayze. I love Patrick Swayze dancing. I like Jennifer Grey, but this movie was just never for me. I was a Footloose fan. I wish you would have done Footloose, but you did Dirty Dancing. So we got to talk about Dirty Dancing. Everybody knows the quote, nobody puts baby in a corner. That's great. Every time I see a trailer for Dirty Dancing, Brian, I want to watch Roadhouse. How can you get me, as someone who hates Die Hard 4 and loves Andre the Giant, to be interested in Dirty Dancing?
Here's what I'll tell you. Here's the thing about the movie. And again, I saw it when I was a kid. It was not one of my favorite movies. And I didn't even like Roadhouse or Footloose either. But it's my favorite episode of season 1. And the reason is the people, I mean, it's a real underdog story. The people involved were like all on the fringes of show business. Vestron was like borderline distributing porn. They were on the verge of turning the lights out. Linda Gottlieb, who like I'm so blessed to have met, like she had sent the script to 600 companies. Everybody had it was just all underdogs. And they ended up making to this day the third most profitable film in history.
And That's insane.
And we really, I don't think you, it's a human story, the making of the movie. So I don't think you necessarily have to love the movie. It helps to be familiar with it, but you don't have to love the movie, but you will be rooting for the people that made it. And you will be, I mean, like I said, like, you had all these people. It makes no sense that the movie came together. Like, you watch it and you're like, okay, I guess this is what happened. But
can we just tell people who don't understand, because they've tried to remake this movie, they've tried to make sequels, and what they don't understand, you understand because you work with celebrities, but sometimes the movie is the celebrity. Sometimes it's the charismatic actor, actress. It's the pairing. You have Patrick Swayze, you have Jennifer Grey, you have that music, everything comes together. I'm not a big fan of Dirty Dancing, but I recognize it. I enjoy it. There are iconic scenes in it that everybody knows. That it's like John Cusack can Say Anything with the tape deck. People know these moments. And I don't think they can ever recapture it. But in the 1980s, Brian, remember, they had all these dancing movies. They're everywhere. Flashdance, Footloose, this, the one with John, the one with, how many dance movies did Sylvester Stallone make? Does Rhinestone count?
Never saw Rhinestone. I was more of a Sylvester Stallone fan when he had like an M60.
Or arm wrestling.
Short of the M60, even over the top, I saw for the first time in my life like 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, he's still got a career. He's still doing it. He's still killing people. But anyway, I'm interested because I didn't think I would like the Hello Kitty episode. Like you said, end up being my favorite episode of the whole bunch. That and Masters of the Universe. Watch them both. But real quick, we got to end this with the last one, and I saved it for the last, and that is Ghostbusters. And I had to do this. I was going to get into your opinion of the new Ghostbusters movie. I don't want to talk about it. They're going to make a new Ghostbusters movie. Don't know anything about it. Get what they're doing. It's the nostalgia thing. Let's bring back old actors. Let's get some nostalgia for the fans. Let's get it. It'll make a lot more money than the Lady Ghostbusters. It's going to happen just because that's how Hollywood is. Let's talk about Ghostbusters real quick. First of all, your PR person told us they got Dan Aykroyd and Ivan Reitman on the episode. Okay, that's cool. Dan Aykroyd, that's cool. As long as he doesn't try to sell me, like, Skull Vodka, I'm cool. But aliens are real. Real quick, you got Ernie Hudson? I mean, here's the thing. You're on Netflix. He's right there. He's in Netflix. He's there. You got him.
Yeah.
Thank God. Okay. Sorry, my producer was asking me about this. Poor Ernie Hudson. You know, we were talking about the Ghostbusters cartoon, and we learned that he was the only actor from the original movie that auditioned for his role in the cartoon, and they turned him down for Arsenio Hall. So he's not on the box.
It's so funny, man. We just produced Arsenio Hall stand-up special.
Yeah.
After the second show, we were like hanging out, and I was like, "Can I ask you something?" He's like, "Yeah." I'm like, "You ever bump into Ernie Hudson?" And he's like, "How do you know about that?" And I'm a geek. We all know. He's like,
"We know."
He's like, "That was bad."
Yeah, his career started being an Ernie Hudson replacement.
Yeah.
That's amazing. I'm sorry, but that's amazing. You know, real quick, I was going to ask you a question. So we saw Dolomite. My Name is Dolomite on Netflix. Did you see that?
Yes.
Have you seen it?
Yes.
That was fantastic. That was fantastic.
Snipes is back.
I was going to say, they got Coming to America 2 coming. I was worried about it, but the same crew that made Dolomite is making that movie?
Yeah.
I'm kind of excited.
And Eddie Murphy said something a couple days ago that made me feel good about it. He said... Yeah. We found a way to tell a story so you're not sitting there saying, oh, man, they just wanted to make some money. So the fact that he's aware of that problem and is addressing it, like, I knew the first Spider-Man would be good because Sam Raimi was doing an interview and he said, I made Spider-Man. I didn't make Sam Raimi's Spider-Man. And as soon as I heard him say that, I knew it would be good. And it was. And that when I heard Eddie Murphy say that, like, it was just like this past weekend.
Yeah.
I heard him say that. I'm like, all right.
Are you I got to ask you a question. You produce all these stand-up shows, and Netflix has become kind of famous for this. You know, up-and-coming comedians like Dave Chappelle, you know, people, you know, no one's ever heard of before. Now they're famous. Are you involved with the Eddie Murphy special coming up? Is that yours? No?
Nope.
Is that good, though? You get to go in, like, literally hearing it raw then, so to speak? You excited about that?
Oh, very excited. I mean, I'm very sad I'm not producing it. Don't get me wrong. Very sad. But the only upside, and it's a huge upside, is that I can hear it, quote unquote, as a civilian.
Yeah. I hope it's good. I hope it's not liquidated. Last question about Ghostbusters. Got to talk about the music. You got Ray Parker, a.k.a. the rip of Huey Lewis in the News. Both great songs. Do you guys talk about the music of Ghostbusters?
Yes, 100%.
It's important. It's important. We need it. Because I want to know what happened to Air Supply. I'm sorry, that song sucked. But my producer wants me to ask you what your favorite song on the movie is, and is it Mick Smiley's Magic?
No, it's Who Are You Gonna Call?
Really? You're Ray Parker? Is he on that? Did you get him? Is he back?
Was.
Oh, my goodness. Okay. This is exciting. This is a high note. So... The only question I didn't get to ask you was whether Die Hard's a Christmas movie, but I don't need to ask you that because it is.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Let's do this the way we should. So you've been listening to the Pop Zara podcast. We have been talking once again to our favorite, Brian Wolk-Weiss, producer, director. He's everything in between. He's a Netflix staple and now Amazon at some point, talking about two things. The Toys That Made Us, Season 3. When is it out, Brian?
December 15th, next Friday.
Next Friday, we're going to watch it. And most importantly, the new show, The Movies That Made Us. Do we have a release date?
November 29th, Black Friday.
Black Friday? Oh, goodness. So you own November.
We're trying.
It's crazy. Just in time for The Irishman, by the way. So
you can get out of the way.
You're going to roll right into that. Thank you, Brian.
Thank you so much. All
right.
Appreciate it.
Okay, bye-bye.
You've been listening to the Pop Zara Podcast. For more quality original content, check out PopZara.com for the latest reviews and previews in gaming, movies, tech, and more.